Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board. Busy hour on tap in 15 minutes. Weekend betting takeaways. Bottom of the hour, VSiN host Matt Brown's going to join the program. He'll give out some future bets in the National Football League. And here we head out to the Progressive guest line. Chris Bennett is the director of the sportsbook here at Circa, and he joins the program now. Chris, good afternoon. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Doing really well. We'll get into most wins in baseball for the month of July here coming up. You book all the numbers here at Circa. You love betting into the market as well. Let's begin with this, though, because for the first time in I think probably like 2.5 years, we have zero drama here on the final day of a month. Houston took it down. What number did you open up the Astros at last month, and did you have many bets on them?
So I think we opened the Astros around 17-1 and really didn't have much movement with them. Didn't really take any significant bets. They were in a position where they're a good team with a reasonable schedule, but it didn't really like jump out to people. And we had a lot more interest in a few other teams that got off to stronger starts in the first 2 months of the season. And so the Astros just played really well, even though they don't have Yordan Alvarez and they're trying to, you know, pick out these guys to fill out the back end of the rotation, but it's worked really well and they've been really hot. And here we are, the last day of the month, where normally we have some excitement and multiple teams still have a chance to win this market, but today we don't. They've got it.
Is any month when the Dodgers don't win this market, is that a good month, I'm guessing?
I feel like I've learned some things over the last year and a half pricing this market and giving the Dodgers a lot of respect or learning to give them enough respect, because they're throwing guys out there like Justin Robleski and Ben Kasparius and Matt Sauer, and like they can still win and they can still be a big favorite with those guys because their lineup is so good. And it's gotten to the point recently where we might have some liability on the Dodgers. The first month of this year, we had a lot of liability on them, but it's not consistent every single month. Sometimes, you know, I make the odds low enough where people say that they just don't see any value, and can be a winning result for us.
So in the month of July, it's tricky for, I'm guessing, your side of the counter and for bettors as well because of the All-Star break, Chris. Some of these teams play as few as 23 games. Some other teams play as many as 26 games. So how does that, like, throw you for a loop when you're making the numbers for this month?
Well, every month I go through and see exactly how many games are scheduled for each team, because obviously that matters for how many wins you're likely to have in the month. But when you're looking at like June or August, a team might have 28 or 29 scheduled games. But in July, you're right, we've got a team in the Phillies and the Pirates that only have 23 games scheduled. So that difference in number of scheduled games played is more significant in July than it is in other months. And I'm just trying to weigh that mentally. I don't have some sophisticated algorithm to calculate the incremental value of one game in the month of July. So it's me and just how my brain works trying to put together the odds. And then there's the bettors saying, okay, you know, this is the setup for a team. This is the price that they're being offered for July. And, you know, maybe you'll find an edge because I don't do a great job of pricing that. So in a way, July is a little bit quirky compared to the other months and presents a challenge because you can't do things exactly the same as you did in the other months.
A very good answer. Which teams, since you posted these numbers, I think it was yesterday, and of course they'll come off the board tomorrow after the game start, which team or teams have been popular here at Circa?
So we've taken some significant money on the Brewers and the Mariners. Brewers were 60-1. Mariners started out at 26.5-1. We've seen a little bit of interest on the Blue Jays and the Rays. So right now, those would be our worst results. But we're seeing, as we usually do, decent ticket count on the better teams, the teams that have a reasonable chance of having the best record or having the most wins in the month of July. So my goal is to get at least one ticket on every team, try to keep the liabilities reasonable, because we've seen some longer shots win in this market. Just a couple of months ago, the Cardinals were 180-1 when we closed, and they won.
Sure. Not only do you book the numbers here at Circa, but you bet into this market as well at other books. Do you mind sharing any teams that you have for the month of July?
So in Nevada here, where I live and work, Caesars puts this up, and I think it's awesome that they do this. And they usually beat me as far as putting out odds before we do. So I give them a ton of credit for doing their own odds making. And for me, as a odds maker and bookmaker, it's fun to do this, to make the odds, to book it. But, you know, it's also fun to bet as well. And betting, like, tells you if your opinion's any good or not based on your results. So they had some prices that I liked on the Cubs and Phillies and Tigers. So I think I got Cubs at like 22-1, maybe. Phillies 25-1, Tigers 16-1. So I thought those teams had a much better chance than their odds implied. So I'm going to have excitement either way.
I'd say,
own bets.
Very good.
I'm just booking it here at Circa.
The last time you were on this, got a lot of traction on social media when you said, you responded to a guy who wrote an article about bookmakers are getting beat up with the Rockies. And you said, hey, I can make the number whatever I want. I mean, why don't you reach out to me? How do you feel about the Rockies now, 19-65, as they've won a couple games here and finally won a series? And will you continue to put that prop up? Will the Rockies get swept?
I look for situations where the Rockies might be like more than a 2-1 underdog in every game of a series, which means if you're betting against them on the money line, you're laying a pretty steep price, at least by Major League Baseball standards. So, you know, that's a way to give people an option to bet against a bad team, but they're not laying -300 and above. Obviously, it's a, you know, different consideration winning three games consecutively than just winning one game. But it's a way to have a different angle and maybe to generate interest in those games that you might not otherwise get from people because they just shy away from those steep prices. So I'll look for opportunities to continue to offer that. The Rockies aren't going to get any better at the trade deadline. I'm pretty confident of that.
Yeah.
You know, they've been kind of scrappy at times. If their lineup's fully healthy and you've got Hunter Goodman in there who's missed the last several games, and if they could get Ezekiel Tovar healthy, it's not the worst lineup in the world. German Marquez, Kyle Freeland have looked competent at times on the mound. So I don't think when they're healthy, they're as bad as their record to this point, and they should outperform that over the second half of the season. But they do need to be healthy because some of the guys that are trotting out there just don't belong in the major leagues, and they're going to continue to be a huge underdog. And I'm probably going to think of some things at the All-Star break, maybe like updated season wins number. I'm going to try to get creative with it. On a day-to-day basis, it's a little bit of a challenge just with teams playing every single day and having so many other things to do. But, yeah, when a team is this bad, it's interesting, and you want to have fun with it.
Good answer. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Chris Bennett, sportsbook director here at Circus Sports. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. Chris, we have like 2 minutes left here. There was a big trade today in the National Football League. Jalen Ramsey goes from Miami to Pittsburgh along with Jonnu Smith in exchange for Mickens and Fitzpatrick. Did that do anything here at Circa? Did you guys move any number on either one of those teams?
We did not make a move in reaction to that trade. We didn't see a need to make a move before taking a bet. So we'll see what the betting public thinks the value of this trade is for the two teams. And that was a few hours ago. And to this point, I'm not aware of any big bets that have come in. So what we're feeling and seeing so far is that, yeah, these are some big names, but it's not really moving the needle on the prices that we already had available.
All right. Did you guys move the number on the Golden Knights after they acquired Mitch Marner earlier?
We were kind of in front of that. We could see that was probably going to happen. So we did make moves and got the Golden Knights down to a price we felt comfortable with, the expectation that they were going to get Mitch Marner.
Very good. Chris, thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
There you go. Chris Bennett, always a good perspective director here at Circus Sports, especially on the most wins in the month of July or whatever month it might be.
Right. And as you pointed out, Caesars and Will Hill, the first to put that up, and they do a good job with that as well. So it's interesting. The bookmaker making bets.
Well, right, right. By the way, so some of those teams that he brought up, I haven't made a bet yet for July. I looked at the Brewers, and I thought 38 or 39 to 1 was a good number. But then I looked closer at their schedule. Oh, man, it is a meat grinder for July. But the team's also playing. Who do you want to compare this Mizorowski kid to?
Oh,
he's must-watch television, Paulie.
Didn't Pryor dominate early on for the Cubbies?
He did, but he didn't throw like 102.
Yeah. Kerry Wood? I'm talking about strikeouts now.
Yeah, blowing people out of the water.
Yeah. Wood had the ridiculous curveball, though, too.
But oh, boy, did he ever.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. 100 miles an hour, and you're lucky to get a hit off the guy.
Well, we'll get into weekend betting takeaways coming up next. His price will plummet in the future, so you better grab him while you can. Nice, brand new, fresh, flashy, open here, and graphics for weekend betting takeaways, Paulie. I'll start with this. Great tournament on the PGA Tour this weekend. Aldridge Potgieter, at 20 years old, took it down in a playoff. He's 20 years old. As a reminder, he lost to Brian Campbell at the Mexico Open on the second playoff hole. His average driving distance is 327.4 yards.
That the bad beat where it ricocheted off the tree?
I think it was, yeah.
Forgot to mention him, too. He was 110-1 cashed.
Yeah, so think about that. That's second on tour he leads with driving distance at 327.4 yards. Number two overall on the list, Rory. And he outslams that dude by 7 yards per drive. He's 40-1 this week at the John Deere. I saw our buddy Jeff Seeley respond to somebody about his future, basically saying he was a good fit for the course, but also like his future is going to be super bright. Once he gets, like, he can mold this overall game, this guy's going to be an absolute force on tour. And like 40-1 this week, would I bet him to repeat? No, I would not. But that's going to turn, like, 110-1 is going to turn into like 25-1 eventually, potentially, with this guy. So for anybody who had him this week, which I did not, congrats, that's a pretty good ticket. Trends can be your friends, but that's pretty much it. Latest examples on this, the Yankees played 16 straight unders. So if you're, again, like nobody's going to bet that from like day one and write it out 16 straight games. But if you hop in at like the fifth game and say, oh, okay, they're 5 in a row, but it's based on matchups and playing teams just because of a trend is, you know, it can be a friend, but that's pretty much it. If you hopped in like when it was at 13, 14 games, well, then you're quickly going to be a loser. I was on one of those, but it was basically because I thought I got a good number, not so much the trend. The Dallas Wings played 9 straight first quarter unders until Friday night when they had a loser when Indiana exploded for 33 points there. Now, this is something else going on with BYU football. Quarterback Jake Retzlaff left the program. And our buddy Paul Stone sent me a bunch of notes on this. A civil lawsuit accused him of rape. That's been dismissed. He faced a possible 7-game suspension for violating the school's honor code.
Can I jump in?
Yeah, of course.
The case was dismissed after he announced he was transferring.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's the timing.
Ooh, I did not know that part. Wow.
Dropped it after he had transferred because he's going to get suspended because he violated the honor code because he had premarital sex.
Yes, that's part of the code there at BYU, for those who don't know. But we are a gambling network. Paul Stone told me he took 4.5 points away from BYU's power rating. That's a pretty big drop.
I would make it higher. They are really up against it here. He's a hell of a player in his timing.
100%, Paul.
Yeah.
Now, he also told me this, but this has since cooled. After this news came out, there's a quarterback by the name of Ryder Lyons. He's ranked 49th overall on ESPN's top 300 list for 2026. One report said that he's going to forego, think about this for a second, he was going to forego his senior year of high school and enroll at BYU in August. Borderline five-star recruit, committed to BYU over Oregon and USC about a week ago. That has since simmered. But you brought this up when they landed that number one prospect in basketball.
Yep.
BYU's a team to monitor here in the future because their pockets are going to be so deep for the NIL.
Absolutely.
No doubt. This trade doesn't do much for me in terms of positivity. Jalen Ramsey dealt along with Jonnu Smith for Minkah Fitzpatrick. I would look at it the other way. I think Dolphins last place finishers in the AFC East, and I would definitely not look to play them.
Wow.
Right? With their
worse than the Jets?
I don't hate the Jets.
Okay.
Imagine if something happens to Tua again this year, which is absolutely feasible.
I love the trade from Pittsburgh's standpoint because you also get Jonnu Smith and then...
I like it, but it never got me to get off my chair, run to my phone, get on my app, and then bet anything to do with the Steelers. Because I already thought they were going to be a fringe playoff team, and that's where I still think they're probably going to be.
Okay. Weekend takeaways. Welcome back. Pac-12 football, baby. An historic day for Texas State. Texas State has officially joined the Pac-12. They are the league's 9th member. They relaunch next year. They announced a TV deal with CBS. The Pac-12 needed to reach 8 football schools playing. Gonzaga doesn't play football to meet the minimum for an FBS conference prior to the 2026 season. They join Boise, Colorado State, Fresno State, Oregon State, San Diego State, Utah State, and Washington State. That is the new Pac-12. They are back, and we'll see if they can be a player in college football. I mentioned Gonzaga, but non-football. So that's what they've added. Disappointed UNLV didn't join. But huge news for Texas State as they were in the Sun Belt since 2013.
Right.
And they have some money as well.
Can I say this? You bringing this up reminds me again how much I absolutely hate the Pac-12 going away. The original Pac-12.
I know. And what? Yes. Also the success they had after what happened.
Oh, God, and the more
Can't wait for the NFL betting guide from VSiN that drops tomorrow. I love them. You love them. I will point out the Rams are popular. Super Bowl, win total over. I'm just going to point that out.
Is that a bad thing?
Who knows? Could be. But what's not to like, though? And then you bring in Adams, another toy for Stafford. They go to Philly in a blizzard, and they are first and goal to win the game. And the Eagles dismantled Kansas City in the Super Bowl.
Oh, and they absolutely killed Washington. And the game against Green Bay was never really that close.
Right, yeah. Turnovers there, certainly, but no
doubt. Rams almost beat them,
right.
No, there's so much to love about this team.
The Rams look good on paper, but I will point out they are popular. This, two betting takeaways here. Cooper Flagg as high as 210 to win Rookie of the Year? Come on now. Minus 210? It's like Wembanyama territory. Defensive player of the year. Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. But, Jason Kidd came out and said, we're going to put him in uncomfortable situations. You don't know about injuries. You don't know what's going to happen with Anthony Davis. I don't mind Harper at 10-1. The love affair with the Spurs that bookmakers have and NBA people. I just think minus $2 to win Rookie of the Year is outrageous.
There's no way you can bet that now.
No, unbettable. And this, the Timberwolves are running it back. They did some bad moves. They could have done a better job with the Naz Reid contract. I don't think they can keep Walker now. But the Wolves are running it back, keeping Randall and Naz Reid. Denver still has the best player in the world. The Lakers could make some key acquisitions here and shore things up. As we just talked about with Doug, Kevin Durant was just on a team with Booker, and they won 36 games and were 10 games under 500 and couldn't even make the play-in. The Rockets to go from 18 to 7-1, the second choice to win the title, and the second choice to win the West behind OKC. The Cavs won 64 games. They're bringing it back and made some good moves, and I like the Lonzo Ball trade. You have Denver. You have the Clippers. You have the Lakers. I can't believe the adjustment here getting Durant. While I like the trade that Houston didn't have to give up much, still the guy's 37 years old and gets injured. I can't believe the adjustment on the Rockets' futures.
Paul, there might be more teams than that in the West better than Houston next year.
That's possible too.
Right.
Yeah.
They're a good team.
Now the Houston they were the two seed and they have depth. But we also forget how bad they looked in the playoffs against Golden State. They did another. I can't believe Van Vliet took a $20 million pay cut.
I know.
That was incredible.
But he was making a ton of money, though.
Oh, yeah, he was. But I think he was due to make $40 million, and he signed two for $53 or something like that how that worked out.
I think both things can be true, right? The Rockets can absolutely be a contender, but you can't bet them at 7-1 to win it.
Oh, come on.
I would need double that at least.
No.
So there you go. Some weekend betting takeaways. Fun segment. Great job by everybody in the back putting that together. I did find this on DraftKings with Cooper Flagg. Because, again, nobody wants to lay. You have to wait a year to cash that ticket, by the way, on him to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
For him to average 18 points per game and the Mavericks to win their division pays 35-1. I think that's possible. I had the list last week, 25 players in the last 30 years as a rookie have averaged more than 18 points per game. Why can't he? And they can't beat out Houston and San Antonio in that division if they stay healthy?
That's a big ask, though.
Well, they're better than Memphis. They're better than New Orleans, obviously. I mean,
yep. New Orleans has no idea what to do.
But it's 35-1.
Yeah. Well, you got Kyrie out for much of the year. That's a killer, too. How about the balls on Nico? This guy, don't let this guy do press conferences. Well, the fans are starting to see our plan and vision now.
Yeah, you landed the number one pick in the lottery at a 1% chance.
What? Then he said,
"Stop."
Then he said, "Well, good things come to people who are bold." Something along those lines. You know, that's like saying my ex was a genius because she hit a button and when he
get
the hell out of here. Yep. New sports betting
market.
That was
her plan in high school.
It's how she drew it up. Absolutely. New sports betting market in town called X-Cutta. X-Cutta Sports Calcutta, combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy. Could create your own X-Cutta auctions for you and your crew, any sport or sporting event. X-C-U-T-T-A, football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, even your own local golf tournament. Create your own private or public auction. Secondary markets for aftermarket. Over 1,000 teams, players, and drivers in the database. Free practice auctions now running daily at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. XCutta.com. Email support at xcutta.com. Mention VSiN. Get 3 months free betting subscription. xcutta.com, the future of future wagering.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Paulie, I think I only have two NFL bets as of right now. That's it. We'll be adding more, obviously, in the next couple of weeks and have a boatload by the end of July and early August. You were on vacation last week. You added some stuff as well that you got into. And our guide comes out tomorrow, which is going to be great and loaded with a bunch of bets. Numbers are going to move, obviously, in the summertime. And one of the contributors and does a great job in the guide every single year joins the program now, Matt Brown, VSiN host. You can catch him on the weekends on Ready, Set, Bet. He also is one of the co-hosts on our very popular podcast called Long Shots, every week breaking down best bets on the PGA Tour. Matt, good afternoon. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Doing great. Licking my wounds yesterday from that golf tournament. I actually, the whole Long Shots crew licking our wounds there. Wes had Chore Bornson, Kelly had Grazerman, and I had Knapp. And so somehow dodged getting anybody home in that tournament yesterday.
Oh, that's a kick to the stomach for sure. by the way, we were talking about Pocky Eater a little bit earlier. What do you think the ceiling is on that kid?
Yeah, I mean, it was an absolute perfect fit for his game on that course. I mean, you could just absolutely bomb it and there was no penalty whatsoever. And so it fit his game great. But the fact that he is so young, he has that length and he will learn how to be a smarter golfer along the way, just like we've seen with some of these other guys. I mean, I really do think this guy is the limit for him so long as he can control some of that. Hey, I don't have to hit it 340 every single time. Sometimes, you know, sometimes 310 will work and I might need to pull the 3-wood out every now and then off the tee as opposed to that driver. But I mean, again, I think that'll come with maturity and age, and I really do like his game.
Sure. Okay. So looking at all the bets that will be coming out tomorrow in the guide, I want to hit this one first with you because I think this, and I was saying this to you during the break, in the next couple of months when you know, everybody's talking football, right? And grab this bet, get this number right now. This to me is going to be one of the most contrarian bets that anybody's going to make the case for. It doesn't matter where you're listening and where you're going to get your content from. You're going to go with the 49ers under their win total. Why?
Yeah, under, well, first and foremost, 11 wins is just tough anyway, right? Like, okay, you kind of have to run on the right side of variance to get to 11 wins anyway. You go in and you look, and it's like only nine teams won 11 games last year, and one of those teams was the Chargers, which actually got there in week 18 beating the Raiders, Aiden O'Connell and whatever. There was nothing to play for there in that game for them. And really it comes down to, I understand the schedule is easy, and you cannot make a case that the schedule is not easy. I totally get that. But I do think there's a lot of assumptions that are being made here with this 49ers team, which is, oh, Christian McCaffrey's back. But I mean, Christian McCaffrey's 29, coming off his second major injury of his career. You've got Brandon Ayuk, who's coming back. He is on the wrong side of 25 as well, coming back off an ACL, MCL. Is he really going to be able to be a wide receiver one? I don't think that the small sample size we got in Juwan Jennings, that he just magically in his fifth year in the league becomes a wide receiver one. And, you know, I think Brock Purdy is good, but is he anything better than good? Is he anything better than league average? Maybe he's a little bit better than league average, but is that good enough as well? And then you lose pieces on the defensive side as well there. I look at this team and I think we're just making a lot of assumptions that everything's just going to fall back into place and everything's going to be great. But these are some aging dudes and small sample size stuff that we have with some of these guys.
Yeah. So does that mean that you like the Rams quite a bit this year?
Oh, do I love the Rams.
Oh, good.
Oh,
same
do
here.
I love an unhealthy love for the Rams, unfortunately. Like, it is everything about the Rams, Matt Stafford, all the different things that you can get going with them. But you look at this team, and I heard you guys, you know, talking about it earlier in the show, but it really, it's just the truth. On paper, this team just looks fantastic. It looks great. Stafford, you know, getting Adams coming in should only help the Nacua situation and really, really maximizing what he can do out there on the field. And honestly, Stafford can still sling it, man. Like, it's, I know he's getting up there in age, but at least at the quarterback position, you can be okay as you get a little bit older. And so I really do love this Rams team a ton.
Okay, very good. In light of what happened earlier today, Miami trades Ramsey and Jonnu Smith to Pittsburgh. Can you share your unique take on how you should bet the AFC East? And you did this over the weekend with Samich. Can you tell us a little advice on AFC East?
Yeah, I think we all are in lockstep. I can't imagine if anybody, whenever the guide comes out tomorrow, if anybody picked anybody other than the Bills to win this division. Bills, along with the schedule, everything that's going on with them, how pure that they ran with the scheduling stuff as well. But we kind of like the exact finish here with Bills, Patriots 1-2. And then even if you wanted to go Bills, Patriots, Dolphins, Jets in the 1-2-3-4 there in the AFC East and get that number down to something a little bit more manageable for people out there, because -260 is not for every bankroll. I completely understand that. And you know, 99% of bettors aren't going to lock up a ton of money, certainly at the -260 number for, you know, 9 months or whatever it is. But you can get a much juicier ticket if you do an exact of Bills, Patriots, or if you want to do just the exact order of finish in Bills, Patriots, Dolphins, and Jets. And I know that's making an assumption that the Patriots are going to be second, but I actually really like what the Patriots did in the offseason. I think Drake May is going to be a good quarterback in this league. And on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, it's going to be really tough to move the ball and score points on this Patriots team. So I kind of like doing that and give yourself a little bit more palatable number on this Bills team, which I think is going to run away with the division.
Not only that, probably what the best path out of either conference to get the one seed as well, I would think.
Yeah, most wins, number one seed, any which way you kind of want to bet the Bills, I would be okay with. It'd be very hard for me to make a case against any of it. The schedule, like I said, broke perfectly for them, and they're just really, really good. And you got Josh Allen at quarterback, and so long as he can stay healthy, this team is going to be favored in just about every game.
Great breakdown and write-up last year on your case for Goff for MVP. So how about this case this year with a quarterback at a big price as well? Kind of the same price, but it's offensive player of the year.
Yeah, I am looking at Joe Burrow. And the thing is for me is I understand that the offensive player of the year award has kind of shifted to, okay, best player that's not a quarterback. And I totally get that. But you're going to look at Joe Burrow, who led the league in passing yards, led the league in passing touchdowns last year. He's every projection system out there right now has him leading the league in passing yards, has him leading the league in passing touchdowns yet again. The team wasn't very good last year. I think that Joe Burrow getting both of those weapons back in there, they're going to win some games. Maybe they shouldn't. They'll lose a couple they shouldn't as well because of that defense. But I think we see him exceed the numbers that he put up last year for passing yards and for passing touchdowns. And it's going to be very tough if you're out there and, like, yeah, you're going to be making a case for some of these running backs and all that. But if Joe Burrow approaches these numbers that he put up last year and this team squeaks into the playoff, I think it's going to be very tough for him not to at least be in the conversation. I know you guys like to build portfolios of these futures markets as well. And if you've got a 50-1 on Burrow and he plays himself into the conversation, well, that's all we're really asking out of this 50-1 ticket. And then we're going to be able to find a way to monetize this thing as we whittle it down. But I really do like Burrow, considering getting both of those guys back, this defense that's going to be giving up points, and he's going to be trailing. He's going to be putting up big, big numbers, and honestly might just be throwing all the time anyway. It's just the most efficient way to move the ball.
And I'm curious too, by the way, like, so let's assume that he has better numbers than last year and he surpasses 5,000 yards and he, you know, maybe flirts with 50 touchdowns in the air.
Mm-hmm.
But the team, like you said, the defense is not good enough and they win 10 games and they're not division winners and they're like the sixth seed overall in the AFC. Well, then it's likely that a guy might get the MVP on a 14-win team who is the one seed, and they could look at Burrow and say, close, not good enough, we'll give him the offensive player of the year.
That's kind of the thought here, is that there's somebody out there that's going to be on one of the really good teams that is probably going to win the MVP, and then you have Burrow sitting there putting up these gaudy, ridiculous numbers. And I think at some point these voters have to look and say, well, the dude can't play defense. I mean, I know we like to, you know, it's like the guy can't play defense. All he can do is go out there and throw for all these yards and throw for all these touchdowns. And so, again, at the number, you can get 50-1 on Burrow. I think it's just too good to pass up.
Sure. Matt, like 2 minutes here. This is a really good bet. Mm-hmm. I need to know where you found this at. Joe Mixon under 10.5 rushing touchdowns on the year.
Yeah, so that is unfortunately at a book not available for us in Vegas. You do have to drive to Arizona or one of the other legal states out there, but you can find this at Bet365. And it is, for me, you look at this, and Mixon barely got there to this number as it was last year anyway, and there was absolutely no competition whatsoever for him in that backfield. They signed Nick Chubb, and even the most conservative of projections have Chubb getting about 100 carries. If you're siphoning off 100 carries from Joe Mixon, that is a red flag right there, trying to get this guy to 11 rushing touchdowns. And then further, what if Chubb just becomes the goal line back? What if they just have him? He's a fragile dude. They're not going to give him a ton of early down work. Instead, it's like he's the dude that just pounds it in from when they get to the 3-yard line or the 2-yard line. And that's what he's been signed for this team anyway. So I looked at that. It is only out there again in the markets that have 365. But if you've got it, and it's still up, I would certainly get it in the account.
It's very good. I have made that drive more than a handful of times, so that might be happening sometime soon. You can follow Matt on X. He's at Matt Brown M2, host of Ready, Set, Bet, along with Mike Somich on the weekends, and also one of the co-hosts on our very popular podcast for the PGA Tour Best Bets every week with Long Shots. Matt, that was great. Thanks for the time today. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
There you go.
Thank you.
And Matt Brown was on the Progressive Guest Line. Burrow, 50-1 Offensive Player of the Year. It's intriguing. There is a path where that could happen, everything that he just talked about.
I think it was Dave Tooley who said this too, that people considered it a bad year what Houston did. They won a playoff game.
Oh, absolutely. And people thought they were a
beat. And then gave KC fits in the playoff loss.
Up next, we'll run down our best bets for tonight. In pocket plays on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1. You're
right. All right. Took another shot with our guy, Ben Griffin. He finished, I think, 15th. But the top five, no good. Game 6 place, Holmgren under, Nesmith over for threes. Seems like 2 months ago. NBA Finals, and then Phillies run line. They pounded the Mets that day, 10-2, and I like the Phillies and come right back if you want to go in play. Phillies on the run line, bottom of the first. It's Wheeler against the Padres. Waldron making his first start of the year, and Wheeler has owned San Diego in his career. Like the Phillies there as well. The new stuff. Get our betting guide tomorrow. If you're serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL Betting Guide, your first real edge, comes out tomorrow. Team previews, win total bets, props, betting projections, everything you need, VSiN.com/subscribe. And the special for the whole season is $175. VSiN.com/subscribe. I touched on it earlier. Available at several shops. 49ers to get the one seed, 6-1. I just think between the schedule and guys they have coming back and a bounce back here for the whole organization. But my big takeaway is the schedule. What they have, what Detroit faces, and what Philadelphia faces as well. And I think the whole, more of this later in the week, as we'll do it all week here with football. I think the whole coach of the year market is out of whack because of two guys, Vrabel and Ben Johnson. They're both like 6-1 at some spots. Are we sure the Patriots are going to be good? Or that much improved? And then I like, he's a genius. I know he's socially awkward, but we'll see what Johnson can do with Caleb Williams and fix him and see if he can turn that around.
How does a last place finishing team have the coach of the year?
Yeah. Ben Johnson is plus 650.
What has to happen realistically for him to win it? Like, that's possible. I'm not saying 14 10, wins. 10, I get 10, that, right?
Yeah, 10.
So 10 wins and probably like Williams, second place.
Right, and Williams has to put up good numbers.
For sure.
That's a ridiculous ask, I think, in that division. So I'm looking at that. And then they made the playoffs last year. And who knows? I don't think he's a good coach. But can he fix the defense? And can Penix become a star? Bowles and Raheem Morris are both 35-1, 40-1. Coach of the year.
Okay.
I think they could both be playoff teams, and certainly one of them too should win the division. So if Philadelphia doesn't win that many games, and not that Sirianni is going to get a love anyways, but Washington has a difficult schedule. I think this is totally nuts, the market, based on two guys, because it's a love affair with New England, and I like Vrabel, but 6-1 is outrageous with Vrabel and Ben Johnson.
So yeah, they do that every year now because it's the team that failed the year before to live up to expectations, and they bring in the hot new coach, and they think, well, in his first year, they're going to turn it around right away, and that guy's going to be the winner. So I agree with you. I think the Todd Bowles number is absolutely, but I'm high on the Buccaneers big time this year.
They could win 11 games.
Of course.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Paul, you had a great month of June. Thank God for me, today is the last day. The exact opposite. I was 0-4 on Friday. No good. I had wins money line. We're talking about one of the worst spots ever for the Fever. And it's 33-13 Fever, end of the first quarter. Boy. And the Wings came back and they tied the game up. But they eventually lost. I also had the under first quarter of that one, 43.5. That was also, like, other books were 42.5. I think I saw 41.5 out there. That was more of a number play than anything else. And the Fever exploded for a bunch of points late, and they outscored them 33-13. So that was a loser. The Rays first five led 6-0 in the second. Oh, no good. Couldn't cash that. And it was Gilbert versus Evaldi first five. I played under, and they had a ton of runs. So no good on Friday. And that's been pretty much my month of June. Thank God it's over in a nutshell. So bunch of bets tonight. Zach Wheeler over 6.5 Ks plus 120. The Ballpark Pal feature now on VSiN.com, and I subscribe to their website. They broke down some really good batter versus pitcher matchups tonight. One, Wilson Contreras. I'm going to go over 1.5 total bases for the Cardinals at plus, well, that's even money. I'm doing the same thing with Rafael Devers over 1.5 total bases minus 110 for the Giants. I have Jacob Lopez over 5.5 Ks plus 120 for the A's. They project him to have more than 6.5 Ks tonight. I also am riding him now for the second straight start because the guy's been awesome. And this is kind of baked into the Malinsky special. Plus, Waka has good numbers against the Mariners. Kirby has good numbers against the Royals for whatever that's worth. But it's the first game back for the Mariners, and their offense has been struggling. The Royals' offense has been a disaster all year long. Seattle's first game back at home in 10 days, no day off. Get out of there with a 2-1 game, 3-2 game. I played under 4 in the first five and under 7.5 for the game. Royals and the Mariners tonight.
All right. You are right. You know, it's a small card. It's intriguing. An MLB. Betting on sports, why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day. Top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up firstbet.com. Promo code VSIN200. Claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. All right, it's coming in. So NBA free agency is underway. I should have said a yeah, but with Houston. Finney Smith goes to the Rockets, 4 years, $53 million. What a week and a half for the Rockets. And Jaren,
that's a pretty good deal, by the way.
That's a hell of a deal. Great defender, 40% from three, corner three guy.
That's a bigger contract than I would have given James Harden.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. And the Grizzlies extend Jaren Jackson, $240 million deal.
My God.
So we'll see more moves coming here. Now free agency is underway. That's big for Houston. That's a big loss for the Lakers, though, too. So even if you can get Ayton or someone, again, his center, you need another piece now. Because Smith was and he was good, got along with Luka. That's bad news for the Lakers. Marner to the Vegas Golden Knights. Jeff Sherman at the Westgate has lowered the Knights are the co-favorite with Florida 7-1. And Chris Bennett here at Circa said they had expected that move and already adjusted and accounted for the Knights making a trade, too, as the free agency continues in the NHL.
I would, by the way, if you want to get in on an NHL future, just based on the number, you can shop around. When that news broke earlier today during the show, books were still offering outside of, see, here they want, like, my God, they're going to get pounded by Golden Knights money in the state and in the city. So outside of Nevada and outside of Las Vegas, you might still find a really good number. I was able to get 10-1. You can still maybe find that if you think that they're worth a bet. I mean, they're adding Marner, who is going to be, I mean, you got to give credit to this organization.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, they go for it like every single year.
They do.
This is going to be, what, year 9 in existence? And they have, since they came out and shocked the world by making the cup in the first ever year, the expansion year, they basically just said, yeah, we like that feeling of winning. We're going to go for it every single time. And my buddy who I go to games with occasionally who has season tickets, he said, just watch now. Toronto's going to turn into an absolute wagon, which it could.
Well,
people are making that case that you can't possibly run it back with all those guys, and they got rid of one of their main cogs last year. But if they keep it together, to your point, right, they had Florida dead in that series.
They did.
Ready to go.
Don't
up
blow
three
game
games
three.
To none.
Don't blow game three.
Yeah.
But the key injury to Stolarz. The Knicks are meeting with Mike Brown for the second time.
Yep.
How long is this going to go? What a debacle.
Oh, what did I tell you? I said if they don't have a plan in place and the next guy ready to go after they fired Tom Haberstroh, he's been great with some of the numbers lately, Tom Thibodeau, it's a total disaster.
Yeah.
And it's been, what, three weeks?
Yep. How many teams did they ask for permission to talk to when they were all shot down? That's the other thing. The trade that should happen tonight, it won't. The Knicks should trade to get Spoelstra from Miami. Because Riley, I love him, has lost his touch. They didn't even try to get Kevin Durant. Their offer was laughable. It's just, why don't you just blow that up? You're not going anywhere.
He's been there for almost 20 years now, the way it seems.
Make a trade and get Spoelstra. That's what the Knicks should do.
Don't you think, and maybe the guy's just like super loyal and he absolutely loves the city of Miami and he could never live anywhere else. Don't you think he should probably dabble somewhere?
I think I would
by
do
the
that
way,
too.
And try to win another, because they're a bad basketball team.
You're not going to add anyone. They're doing the wrong thing by just trying to make the play-in. You bet in the play-in for how many years now, right?
Yeah.
Bad regular seasons. Just lightning in a bottle with the bubble and then the upset run with Jimmy when they lost to Denver. He's a hell of a coach, but that's what the Knicks should do.
I don't disagree.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy. How long is this going to go? They gave Marner 8 years, by the way.
Yeah, I think 12 million per, right?
Yep.
That's the average.
All right. Maybe there's fireworks. That's what they're saying. A lot of activity, a lot of trades, a lot of big moves. We'll see.
Here is the Houston Rockets depth chart for next year. Van Vliet and Holiday at the point. Thompson Shepard at the shooting guard. Jabari Smith, Finney Smith, Whitmore, Durant, Eason, Green, Sengun, and Adams. They're gonna play like 11 guys.
How was Shepard not in that trade? That was ridiculous. That's another one, what Phoenix is doing.
I know. All right, primetime's next. Will Hill and Tim Murray. Good luck with your bets. We'll see you.